Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right, perfect.
This was...
Clearly, you're enthusiastic about Battleground.
I'm super not. I'm more or less doing an inside joke that we were talking about during our microphone tests.
All right.
And no one else gets except for us.
So...
Radio voice.
All right, do you have any news before we jump into Battleground?
Nothing outside of the usual shows.
Okay.
All right.
So we'll go.
Well, Dirt Sheets. More about the whole Paige Alberto Del Rio situation. I guess the late. I don't know if it's worth talking about or not, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Pro Wrestling. It's PW something. I forgot. It wasn't Torch. I know that. Yeah. But one of those Dirt Sheets said that there was a warrant out for Paige's arrest in the domestic violence
thing.
Situation with the airport from a few weeks ago. Turned out to be fake.
Okay.
The investigation is still going on,
mm-hmm.
but there was no actual...
Warrant.
There's no warrant, yeah. So... There's that. So if you're going around commenting on every Paige tweet saying, where do you go? The San Antonio police are looking for you. They're not. It's okay. You can stop harassing her.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to help. Probably.
So Battleground happened.
Yes.
You can't dispute that.
It did. It truly did. And man, this is the first time. At least, well, it's the first time that I can see where a WWE producer was on Twitter, almost, I won't even say defending themselves, but like, you know, basically like, you know, got two words for the haters, you know, because it was Road Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell he was hearing a lot of, he basically is running SmackDown these days.
Yeah.
So pretty much everything goes through him. Obviously, Vince still gives the final okay, but basically everything SmackDown-wise goes through him. And usually, that's something to applaud, because SmackDown is usually, you know, head and shoulders above Raw. And,
right.
You know. But Battleground was not. Battleground was a dud.
So, we had a little bit of, like, a commentary last week about, like, hey, there's, like, a couple of, like, you know, America versus another country things, like there's the flag match and the
mm-hmm.
you know, main events like that. And then we like looked into the card and we're like, oh, there's an American fighting a non-American. And there was a little bit of a stretch here and there, like the New Day thing was a little bit of a stretch, but technically,
I mean, that wasn't the theme of the feud,
right.
But you still had that situation.
But the thing is, like, once the pay-per-view started, it's like, oh, that's the theme of the pay-per-view.
Yeah,
like they did a whole like these colors don't bleed thing.
No, like the Battleground like logo had like it was kind of like kind of scratched, but like it was red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And even like New Day came out with, you know, red, white, and blue gear, and it just like that was the theme of the night. And I guess it's because it's the SmackDown's July
one, but like,
but then again, SmackDown had an episode on 4th of July like 2 weeks ago,
and like. Is this
so you could have got it all out of your system then.
Well, like, and Cena came back then, so Cena's feud was kicked off then.
On the 4th of July.
Yes. But the New Day's wasn't.
No.
And...
I mean, you had the main event, which was kind of, you know, home country-fueled kind of thing. But... You know, Randy Orton wasn't necessarily patriotic.
No.
You know, that's not his character. That wasn't brought up at all, really.
There's a reason he's not the Marine 3.
Yeah. True. So as far as, like, national pride kind of situation, like, none of those feuds are really drawn or really driven by all that.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Well, and part of the issue is, with the exception of John Cena, because John Cena has... for a very long time been
pro USA. USA rules. USA is the best. And I don't mind,
except for that one brief time when his shirt looked like a Confederate flag. But you know, go on.
I don't mind pro American characters.
Sure.
I don't mind that being part of your character. Is
national pride is nothing.
No.
Is nothing to shame anyone over.
No.
Depending on the nation.
But with Cena aside, these rest of these feuds weren't America's the best, but rather your country sucks.
Yeah. And they're like, why? Because mine is better.
Because they're not America.
Because, yeah, you're not.
But it's not touting the greatness of America so much as it is
the failure of the other country.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's where it gets,
again, like,
icky.
I don't think there's any tension between America and Bulgaria.
No.
But man, it feels like WWE's trying to start some.
Well, and like, the same thing, like, all right, pro-American, I get that's a solid character choice. There's a lot you can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like pro-Canadian people. Like, Bret Hart is pro-Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, Canadian pride. There's a lot of Canadian wrestlers. There's a lot of Canadian pride woven into a lot of characters. Now, we haven't had, like, the all-Canadian-Canadian yet.
Right.
But we could. That'd be fine. But
sure.
Then it's like, all right, once you get out that bubble, like, we've had some British people that mm-hmm. are, like, super British and super England's the best, which has been fine.
Right.
But then we start, like...
But you don't know how that's going to translate to the American audience.
Well, the thing is,
of, you know, lack of proximity.
Once you start getting a little further east, there's not a lot of like, hey, this guy's just pro country. No. Boo to that.
Right. When Mustafa Ali first started his 205, he just had the Pakistani flag,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the Tron. And before he really said a word, people were booing him.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, impressive, because I figured most of the American public doesn't know what the Pakistani flag looks like. So there's that. So I don't know. It felt a little forced.
Yeah, and this wasn't capital punishment or the Great American Bash.
Right.
It was at the end of July.
Right.
Like, and there's just, so to have this all, it feels like out of
it's
nowhere,
like,
be like...
Right, it's like they tried a little bit to poke at it with the fact that they were in Philly. It's like, oh, it's the birth of our... This is where our country was born. I'm like, yeah, but... Is that really what everyone thinks of the first time someone mentions Philly?
Yeah.
You know? Like you say, if you were in D.C., maybe, you know?
Or if you had a American-themed...
Right.
You know, pay-per-view.
If your pay-per-view, like, happened to fall, like, on 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something along those lines. But for end of July, Philly pay-per-view called Battleground.
Yeah.
And, yeah. No, it felt forced and it felt unnecessary. And outside of, I guess, with Cena and Rusev. Which, again, they really didn't care about flag etiquette on that one.
No, they did not.
There was a lot of flags.
I was very curious about that going into
that. There was a lot of flags on the ground.
Yes.
And I think that they're all... Because, again, like, flag matches aren't really something that happened a whole lot. But I was pretty sure, like, the point of the flag match was as soon as you, you know, got your flag off the pole or whatever, you won. Which pretty much eradicates that problem, you know?
I will say this.
Because even if your flag, like, comes out and falls or something, it's still out, so you win.
Yes. I thought that's what it was going to be. The whole, like, flag transportation situation caught me off guard.
That transportation system is what created those those etiquette.
But I will say, I'm actually quite pleased with the flag match and with the Punjabi prison match, mm-hmm. that they took the time to be like, these are the rules to this match.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do this.
Right.
If you do this, this will happen.
At least they acknowledge, like, we know that this is a very rare type of match, and the general public might not understand the rules to it.
Well, just last pay-per-view, they were not clear on how you win an ambulance match.
Right.
Do you just have to close the doors? Do you have to close the doors and drive away?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, because that happened, And because of the confusion at the end, and then because of the, you know, attempted manslaughter, you're kind of sitting there being like, all right, who won this match?
Right.
Like, I get the whole, like, storyline, you know, who's walking away and who's crawling away. But, like, in the record books, I'm not clear on who won. So I do appreciate that they did that. All right, but going through the pay-per-view, New Day wins.
New Day wins. They're the new tag team champions.
Yes.
And then
Xavier Woods actually mentioned that this is the first time he's ever pinned anybody for a title.
Yep.
In WWE. Mm-hmm. So kind of cool.
And I think, I forgot what the graphic was, but Kofi is the only person to have ever held the WWE World, SmackDown, and Raw tag team belts.
Yeah.
I believe there was four. They might have been, I think those are the only four.
So New Day has gotten this perfect formula down
mm-hmm.
for being in the first match
mm-hmm.
because they will probably never steal the show,
mm-hmm.
but will almost always get a "This is awesome" chant.
Yeah.
Which is like that perfect, mm-hmm. you don't want to come out too hot and have the rest of the show be a downer, but you get people on their feet thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is what they did in this match again. Yeah. Like, they, you know, weren't the match of the night, but they got out of "This is awesome" chant.
They might be match of the night. I can't really think of one that was. I guess you would probably count. Okay. Maybe not. KO and AJ would probably be the only one that I would put in that conversation. Mm-hmm. But that finish was confusing.
It was. I'm still going to give it to KO and AJ.
Yeah.
Because.
But usually, like, you know, a lot of times that finishes will give somebody a sour taste in their mouth when they go back and think about those matches.
The thing is, like, the finish was not confusing in kayfabe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what happened, and that pin worked, and da-da-da. It was confusing out of kayfabe because you're like, that didn't feel complete, and AJ definitely said something to a ref right there.
Right.
I would like to know more, please.
And even when they cut to promo the next segment or the next match, AJ was still in the ring talking to the ref.
Yes.
Throughout the entire time.
And the fact that, like, even as of right now, as of this recording, all we know is, like, it was different than planned.
Right. And, you know, the next SmackDown, the title went back. Mm-hmm. Like, AJ won it back with the surprise return of Chris Jericho, you know, on top of it.
Yeah.
But,
well, also, like, he won it back. So, like, was there an injury? Like, because then they just gave him the title back. He also seemed fine in the ring. Like, nobody came out.
Right.
There were no X's thrown. There was no stretcher coming out.
I don't know. I think there might have been a miscommunication somewhere. Or KO might have pinned him a little too snug. I don't know.
Maybe, but like, he looked like he didn't try and kick out. Mm-hmm. And like, was a botched kick out or anything. Like, he looked like, oh, I guess this is how I'm taking this. Yeah, it was weird.
Because what was the... I don't even remember.
I don't even think it was a finishing move. It was like a...
Wasn't it KO doing the splash?
Maybe.
I don't even remember what the move was.
It wasn't a roll-up kind of thing, but it wasn't a finisher. It was like a reversal, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
So, I don't know. But that was weird. But the match is still my match of the night.
Yeah. It's just, you know, like I was saying, like, a lot of times,
I totally
those
understand.
Awkward finishes is what a lot of, the only thing people remember.
Yeah.
Natalia's the new number one contender. Seems like a odd move when you've got, well, you know, when you're going into your, I would say, second biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah.
And you've got Charlotte and Becky Lynch on your roster.
That's the thing, it's like, okay, so... Is SmackDown going to have two women's matches? Because that'd be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If not, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Also, okay. So, because I also realized watching the match, as I was watching the match, because we talked about, like, on the podcast, was like, I picked Charlotte. I think you picked Charlotte.
Yeah.
And we talked about, like, because it might be going face-to-face, which feels weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ultimately, I was like, well, I'd put Charlotte on SummerSlam, so that's why I'm picking it. But there was like this, oh, are they going to go face-face? But then as I'm watching the match, I'm like, is Natalia a heel?
Yeah. No, she is.
But, like, she's kind of got that Big Show thing where it's like,
you lose track of where, you know, where the needle moves.
And so, like, because she grabbed some tights to do the pin earlier in the match, and, like, nobody called her on that. So I was like, all right, maybe she actually needed to grab that for some reason. Maybe it wasn't, like, a strong enough tights grab.
Sure, right.
So, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, is she a heel? And I'm, like, desperately trying to think back to the last promo that I remember her making.
Which, like, I usually try to, block out from my mind. Because that's the thing, like, I'm sure the SummerSlam match is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did say that it was for SummerSlam, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The match is going to be fine, but to be honest, between now and SummerSlam, if I'm not watching SmackDown, you know, live, I'm going to skip through their promos. Because Naomi's not good on the mic, and Natalya is obnoxious and not in that good heel way. It's just, I can't stand her.
Yeah.
Period. On the mic at all. Even as a face, I just... No, I even when, you know, she was a face when she was up against Charlotte when they were on Raw.
Natalya,
and I couldn't stand her then.
Natalya has yet to feel like she's saying things that Natalya would say.
Right.
Like when she's a heel, it sounds like these are the things a bad guy would say.
Right.
And when she's a face, it's her remember promos, that I'm a heart.
Yeah, her promos feel very pained by the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Very generic, and it's as if you have a writer who instead of giving you talking points, they just give you word for word what to say, and you recite.
I'm not saying that there's a promo wizard in there waiting to break out.
No.
Like, if she's had this issue for this long in the company.
That might be her own personal ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, they might be... And it might be just, like, she's never felt comfortable trying to push for something. Like, she might have something more that she doesn't feel comfortable pushing for, so she's always, you know, said the words that are in front of her on the page.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm kind of like, okay on that one.
Yeah. It doesn't help because, like, on, like, Total Divas, I don't know if it's changed because I haven't watched since the first season, but it was one of those things where it's like, we need something that... We need somebody that's going to, you know, be... Not necessarily controversial, but, you know, confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like she's decided that she's going to fill that role. And it never feels genuine, like she's never, ever upset about something because she's legitimately upset. It sounds like, oh, I'm upset because I want to start drama for the show.
Right.
You know, it never... I have yet to feel anything genuine from Natalya on a promo standpoint, you know.
What else happened?
Well,
I started with New Day. I started really good. I was like, I'm gonna go through this card in order, but then you mentioned AJ and Kevin Owens.
Right. Sorry. Well, it was kind of like a...
No, I understand.
It was a good segue.
That's why I let it happen. That's why I didn't shut you down.
Right. We got Nakamura and Baron Corbin.
Yes.
I don't know if SmackDown is just allergic to booking Nakamura well on a pay-per-view. Because, I mean, granted, you know, he looked good in Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he did.
But he also had, like, what, five other people? And for some reason, you know, in his first pay-per-view against Dolph and now this, you know, pay-per-view with Baron, something feels off. Now, granted, he kind of, like, reached a little bit more in his bag of tricks than he has in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't bad, but when you saw his match on SmackDown that next Tuesday, it was night and day. Because that match on SmackDown was so much better. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's like, you got to get Nakamura riled up, you know? Because you could tell Nakamura was, you know, at least from a character standpoint, was fighting pissed off.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe. I don't know. I've kind of gone back and forth on this because it's like, maybe Nakamura's first match with somebody just isn't his strongest. It might take him a while to feel somebody out. That Sami Zayn match on NXT
exactly
seems to disprove that
splinter in that. Yeah.
And so, like, I'm going back. I'm like, all right. So did he face El Generico at some point? Like,
right?
Can I dig up something?
All I know is I'm waiting for Nakamura, Kevin Owens, and like an actual big time, you know, feud. Because I think they had a match against each other on SmackDown. Like, once Nakamura actually started wrestling. Yeah. And it was okay.
Well, and like maybe you there's
know,
something.
I know they did some stuff on the indies that ended up being really good.
Yeah. Where like on SmackDown, he gets like the, you have this match, this person, 15 minutes go. Mm-hmm. And on pay-per-views, he might get a lot more, you know, sideline coaching.
Right.
On, he needs to hit these spots and point to these people and.
Which is weird.
These cameras are catching this thing.
Which is weird because we think that would be the other way around.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it might be like a Vince or Vince proxy, you know, caring more about the pay-per-view to be like, all right.
That wouldn't normally be there on a regular SmackDown.
Yeah. The kids love the leg shake thing. Make sure you do that at least twice in the match. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that where, like, it stunts the
which is, you know, somebody's just, you know, trying to handle them too much.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But that going forward, again, their SmackDown match was so much better, and I'm hoping, as we'll get to, I'm hoping that's the end of Nakamura, Baron Corbin. But that being said, let's go ahead and move on to Cena and well, we already kind of talked about Cena and Rusev. Do you have really anything else you want to add to that?
I mean, yeah, this is a flag match.
Yeah. But
that falls under my ring of fire of like, it's nice they tried it, don't do it again.
Right. But that moves me towards what happened on SmackDown, and that is they named a number one contenders match for next week, and that's Cena versus Nakamura. Winner goes on to face champion, spoilers, Jinder. I just realized that we hadn't covered that match.
Yeah,
yet.
Yeah, I was like
goes on to face Jinder at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving away, you know, what a lot of people have already called a dream match on an episode of SmackDown. Like, A, that's a brilliant way to make sure there's eyes on your
episode.
I mean,
I'm excited for SmackDown.
Right, so am I. But at the same time, it's like, that's a WrestleMania match, you know? That's mm-hmm. a big pay-per-view match, and you're giving away on free TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially since it's the first time ever meeting, like, first time meeting up in the ring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's a little bit of a head scratcher, but I'm hoping that means that they'll actually, like, you know, go all out, have a, you know, clean finish and everything. Because
mm-hmm.
I swear to you, if Baron Corbin comes out and interferes.
So right now, I believe Nakamura is technically undefeated on SmackDown as far as in singles matches.
Yes.
Which is cool. I kind of hate that John Cena would be the one to break that.
Right.
But
at the same point, it would be kind of cool if Nakamura beat Cena on SmackDown.
I mean, if Nakamura beat Cena, I'm very excited.
Right.
The silver lining of Cena winning is that frees up Nakamura to face AJ Styles at SummerSlam.
Right.
Which, we had that moment in Money in the Bank where they had the face off,
mm-hmm.
which apparently was AJ's idea. Just
right.
To be like, let us do this.
Kind of a rogue moment.
You can see, well, basically to the backstage Vince.
Be like, yeah, dipping your toe in,
like,
yeah.
Look, you know, let's just do this. It's a face off. You can see the reaction to the potential.
Right.
Which was definitely there.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Which, like, I would like to see that lead into a SummerSlam match.
Mm-hmm.
That would require Nakamura to lose next week.
Right.
Which, again, not the end of the world. This isn't like, this
no.
isn't the Undertaker streak. It's a pretty small streak as far as streaks go and has
sure.
a lot of, you know.
And it's against, you know, the guy who ran the company
right.
for like 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it would, just to put it in, you know, New Japan, you know, aspects. It would be exactly like Nakamura losing to Tanahashi.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to the T. And you know what? Nakamura's done it. You know, he's lost to Tanahashi plenty of times. And Nakamura's fine.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not the end of the world. But again, I'm interested just to see the match and see, you know, what they decide to do with it. Again, I'm hoping they don't do a Baron Corbin
run in.
But then again, that would probably lead to some sort of multi-person championship match at SummerSlam, which they are fond of having championship matches with multiple people on big shows, and I'm surprised they're not.
Case in point, once we get to Raw.
But then again, I'm surprised we're not getting that with the two women's belts.
Yeah.
You know, so far it's just a 1v1 for both Raw and SmackDown. So
Moving on to the Punjabi prison match.
Yep.
So
the positive on that, Great Khali's 3-for-3 as far as making appearances for the prison match.
Couldn't let that record slip away.
Biggest streak since Undertaker.
So I'm watching this match.
Okay.
Well,
I'm glad because, you know, we kind of have to talk about it.
Yes. I'm setting a scene for you. I'm watching this match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of going back and forth. And for the first time since he's been champion, Jinder Mahal's starting to grow on me a little bit.
Right.
Like, there's like... So we've had this issue with it feeling like Randy Orton carrying these matches.
Sure.
Both in and out of kayfabe. And that's part of the issue is like, all right, I totally get he is the ring veteran. He's going to be making the calls and mm-hmm. carrying these matches mostly. But it would be like, it felt like Jinder Mahal was only winning through Randy Orton taking a break sometimes.
Right.
It felt like Randy Orton had to stop. So it's like, all right, now you have some offense.
Right.
And that seemed to shine through. This was the first time I'm like, oh, it's starting to feel like Jinder Mahal's holding his own. There's some back and forth. He's doing some interesting moves.
Mm-hmm.
And like, all right, I can see, you know, the two buddies kind of thing. I was like, that's a classic. That's J&J security right there.
Yeah.
So like, I'm fine. I can see this going somewhere. I can see like them doing stuff. And I'm starting to like, I'm not in the camp for Jinder Mahal, but I'm like, all right, if Jinder Mahal wins this one, if they're going to continue with him as a champion, I won't hate that. I could see some stuff. And then Great Khali comes out. And Great Khali is supposed to be, I assume, a injection of adrenaline into this Jinder Mahal, into this character, into this storyline. And I'm like, he is sucking the wind out of this for me.
Yeah.
Like, Jinder Mahal is finally starting to make an impact on his own to me. And is like, no. Nope.
He already has the numbers advantage.
Now it
you
comes
know,
down
for that
with
heel.
The dead weight.
Yeah.
The baggage that is Great Khali.
Yeah. Because again, like, he's already got the numbers game
mm-hmm.
with the Singh brothers.
Yes.
You don't need Khali other than to try to boost Jinder's numbers in India. Because I understand, like, Great Khali, you know, is the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's like the one of the biggest names in India. I get that. But it does nothing for the story, you know?
No, it does not. He also starts climbing, and my immediate first thought is knees.
Yeah.
Knees, careful, knees.
Yeah, I was like, please don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt other people. Don't collapse. Mm-hmm. Don't collapse the prison. Yeah.
So... Like, I guess we'll see where this goes from here, but...
And also, I saw pictures of, you know, fans that were in the arena, and man, that must have been a pain to try to watch through all that, all the stuff around the ring.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about it when they were outside of the first cage, in the second cage, climbing.
Yeah.
I'm like, there are people on the opposite side of the arena that have to see through the outside cage, the inside cage twice.
Yeah.
To try and see you.
Yeah.
Like... Anything you are doing is totally obscured.
Yeah. Although I did call it. I know we didn't watch the show together. I was watching it with Neil Chippenstein. They were like lowering they were doing all those, you know, glory shots of the prison and everything. And they got the outer one, you know, lowered. And I'm looking at the squares, you know, between the bars and everything. And I'm like, yeah, Singh Brother can fit through that. Sure enough, one slipped right through. Mm.
In fairness, he slipped out of it.
He
not
slipped
into
out of it, but yeah.
Which, when you said that, you were definitely thinking he was going to slip in.
Well, I mean, well, yeah, like, you know, maybe it would be a little bit of a struggle for, you know, someone with shoulders. So, you know, a problem for Randy and Jinder.
Yeah.
And definitely for Khali. But a Singh brother can slip right through it. And mm-hmm. sure enough, he did. And granted, he took one crazy bump. I don't know which one. But
I don't know, but it was an impressive bump.
Yeah. No, it was he earned some points with me. But then again, he also earned some points with me by almost getting killed by Randy Orton that one time.
Yeah.
When even Randy Orton acknowledged, like,
So, all in all, just a whimper of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I'm guessing now Randy Orton's going to take some time off for the movie, because he wasn't on SmackDown at all, and they're moving on in the main event picture, and it's one of those things where, okay, well, what does Randy Orton do now? And I don't have an answer for
you either.
I'm not convinced that WWE has an answer for that.
Well, they should do something, because they are losing SmackDown talent left and right. John Cena's a free agent. Randy Orton's going to go make a movie. Jason Jordan's Kurt Angle's son.
Yeah. But, you know, continuation on that, we had our first rogue episode of Smack Talking or whatever.
No, the new show is called Smacking Talk.
Yeah, Smacking Talk, which was a 2-minute video that they legitimately tried to put on Tout, but Tout is such a just backwards ass forum that every time they try to post it and, you know, post like on Twitter and everything, it would die and crash. And so that's why like Daniel Bryan tried to tweet it out, but the video just wouldn't work. So they had to delete that and just put it on like the usual, you know, video hosting thing for Twitter.
Yeah.
So that's why it wasn't actually on Tout. You know, be like, oh, they were just joking, it's not actually on Tout. No, they tried.
I'm glad to hear they tried.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I definitely watched it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, but...
Also, I downloaded Tout on my phone for that, just, you know, just to see. There's no way, and I know this is not necessarily wrestling, there's no way to, like, search for a specific account that you're wanting to watch.
Yeah.
It's just, like, here's, like, what's trending, you know, globally, and here's local. Like, that is it. There's nowhere to search for anybody. It's like, so how, like, what's the point of following other people? You can't follow other people because you can't find them.
Oh, I don't know. I did not download Tout on my phone.
It's just, I don't know. We all knew that it was I know they got a big spike in downloads on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably still scratching their heads,
like,
on that.
What happened?
And then I don't know if there's a way to measure how many apps of theirs was immediately deleted, but I promise you the numbers are probably just as staggering.
Yeah. So Smacking Talk involved Daniel Bryan revealing a paternity test that he had taken,
which was just "You're my son, hooray" written on it for Chad Gable. But it was like a 2-minute video, and it was kind of adorable.
If you go back and watch Daniel Bryan, when he was Bryan Danielson, silly promos. He had two extremes. He had very serious, angry promos, but he had a lot of silly promos, a lot of goofing off, a lot of, like, stream of conscious promos way early in his career.
There was a PWG match where in the middle of the match, him and Kenny Omega were singing John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
Yeah. This feels like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like, you know, a few years ago when Daniel Bryan was trying really hard for people to call him the Dazzler, you know?
This is the same, this is in the vein of the Bear.
Daniel Bryan rapping with Kane beatboxing on the JBL and Cole show, stuff like that.
Apparently it was huge. WWE.com posted a story about Smacking Talk.
Yeah.
And, like, go look at it on Twitter, which is like, that's what?
Daniel Bryan gave it the hashtag yes movement too. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, you're right.
So let me just say, if anybody out there would like to make a Talking Smack themed version of that monster video in front of WrestleMania 30,
okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, his video package from WrestleMania 30 before his Triple H match.
Yes.
Yeah, but have it Talking Smack theme.
Yes. I would enjoy that muchly. I do not have the interest to make it myself, but
I don't have the confidence in my editing ability.
If you make it, I will be sure that we retweet it.
Absolutely. 100% to our, like, 200-something followers. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I am honestly genuinely curious if anything will happen from this.
Right, or if this was like the plan all along, just to get the people riled up. I'm sure if
I don't think this was the plan all along.
No, but they will
Vince
absolutely
look like somebody with a plan.
But they will absolutely 100% take credit for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If you know they got a huge response.
You know, some say the Bella Twins started the Yes Movement too.
Yeah, fair enough. Some say the Bella started everything. We got the Chris Jericho return on SmackDown, and he was in the U.S. Championship. I love that they actually, you know, oh, man, some one thing that Raw is missing is, you know, consistency and remembering what happened a few months ago and having it, you know, where does that stand now? You know,
that's why it's so confusing that Dean Ambrose is having issues with Seth Rollins right now.
And that's why it's so confusing
Trust
why
issues.
Finn Balor is in, like, a weird just nothingness and not, you know, immediately in the Universal Championship picture, but, you know, whatever. So it makes me question, because again, like all indication that we had was that Jericho was not going to be back for a long time just
right.
because he wasn't supposed to be in WWE as long as he was in the last run. And he was in there for over a year, about a year and a half. And now he's back like 3 months later.
Yeah,
if that
take, maybe
if that, because he was in. It was his first week on SmackDown.
Yeah,
right. So it was after the shakeup. So like 2 weeks after WrestleMania. So I don't know. Is he back just for SummerSlam? Just to try to get like some extra numbers on SummerSlam because you know ratings.
Maybe.
Or is he trying to swerve us all and he'll be on for as full time for a while? I don't know.
I mean,
because he was still doing some house shows here and there.
Yeah, he's usually pretty good about being back when he's back.
Right. Because I don't think Fozzy has put their new album out yet.
Yeah.
Like, I know that he did the single that was on NXT, and actually, from what I understand, that single's doing really good. Or it was as of a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
And then they were going to go back in the studio and, you know, they're going to tour some. They're going to go in the studio, record the new album. So I'm guessing the album's done.
May I guess so.
And
if he's going to be free on Tuesdays now.
Sure, but it's still festival season, you know?
Right.
So I can't imagine Fozzy, you know, is
not
done
touring.
I can't imagine they're, you know, they're not in the middle of, you know,
trying
festival
to take advantage
tours and
of
stuff.
Everything. Yeah.
I don't know. So it's confusing. I end up like that's a good way to swerve everybody because I was definitely not expecting that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to lead to more Kevin Owens matches. Maybe that's what Kevin Owens is doing for
SummerSlam.
For SummerSlam, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Well, I mean, yeah, because if AJ is going to be facing Nakamura, cross your fingers.
Right, then he's got to lose somehow a rematch against Kevin Owens because he still has a rematch. Or they can just do the WWE thing where they ignore the...
And AJ can keep the title going into SummerSlam to face Nakamura.
Oh, sure.
I mean, the title could also be on Kevin Owens, but that will have been hot potato between those two guys like four
right.
times at that point. Maybe give somebody else a turn with a toy.
Yeah, well, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Was there anything from Raw you wanted to touch on? There's the main event.
So the main event is going to be the Fatal 4-Way that we all assumed it was.
Right, which is a lot of humanity.
Yes, it is. So Kurt Angle calls out the security. They do no good. Kurt Angle calls out the locker room. They do no good to try and break this up.
They
do better than the no-names, yes, but calling out the locker room to break something up, I feel needs to be a very delicate thing, and I don't think it was handled very delicately.
No.
So, I don't know, I keep coming back to this. You've definitely heard me say some variation of this on the podcast at one point, but there's...
Reserve it for the talent that's not on the show later on, you know?
Well, there is, let's say, 80... wrestlers
mm-hmm.
on the roster. We have to all pretend with all of our hearts that these are the best 80 wrestlers in the world.
Right.
These are numbers 1 through 80.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there's a big difference between number one and number 80. Mm-hmm. But these guys are still supposedly cream of the crop. Like, right. Heath Slater is supposedly one of the top wrestlers of all time.
Sure.
When you look at the grand scheme of the world and everything.
Right. And I think I understand where you're going with this. But with all those wrestlers, surely not all of them cares all that much about protecting the main event of SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Know? Like, well, what's their incentive to come out and, you know,
I'm not gonna be like, oh, don't do that. Don't waste your locker room like that. Because I think that can be used right. I think the locker room trying to hold Brock and Undertaker apart,
mm-hmm.
When they were going into, I think, Hell in a Cell?
Something like that, yeah.
That was great.
Sure.
That looked awesome.
And it probably
part of that is those are two, you know, like, God-tier wrestlers at this point.
Right. Got that. And also, on top of that, you just did it, like, a few weeks ago with mm-hmm. Brock and Joe.
Yeah.
You know? Now you're doing it again.
Yeah.
You know? That feels... That's when it really starts to feel cheap, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. But I am excited for the match.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, if it avoids, you know, Roman and Brock one-on-one and Joe and Braun just kind of like fiddling, you know, just twiddling yeah. their thumbs, you know, I'm...
Well, and it's the kind of thing where it's like, I was really dreading this match. You guys fixed it up pretty. Good
sure.
job.
Do you still think Roman ends up winning?
I think it's a very, very strong possibility. I don't mind it as much, if that helps.
Well, sure, because it's a way for Roman to win it without pinning Brock, like, you know, just like WrestleMania 31.
Right. Well, and it's also, I don't know, just those two guys trading blows for some reason did not seem like something I was going to be interested in.
Right.
I honestly couldn't tell you why, mm-hmm. Because they both work.
Yeah.
In a manner that I would seem would go
Again,
well
like,
against
you know,
each other.
Like I think we said last week, you know, WrestleMania 31 was surprisingly...
That was good. That had no business being
right,
that good.
Even without, even, you know, if you take out the Seth Rollins cash-in.
Right.
You know.
But like, okay, I'm fine with it. And then when they have this, I'm much more excited about that. I'm even if Roman Reigns ends up getting the title...
Mm-hmm.
I am much more excited about him doing that through this match versus
right.
the what would have been a one-on-one.
Ultimately,
match.
I still feel like it's going to lead to Brock and Roman one-on-one at WrestleMania.
That's very possible.
But
I am
at
not
least
going
we can
to
you know stave
that.
It off for a little bit.
Yeah.
So just outside of wrestling,
uh-huh.
just you know while in the you know last few moments of the podcast, Comic-Con was this past weekend.
It was.
Was there any big thing from Comic-Con that, or some big takeaway that you had? Because I wasn't able to really pay all that much attention to it like I normally do.
Okay, quick Comic-Con highlights. The Ready Player One trailer dropped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been kind of a long time waiting for that. So that was exciting. Thor Ragnarok got a new trailer.
It looks pretty
delightful.
Yeah. And then Avengers has a secret trailer that they aren't releasing, but it got leaked.
It did.
Yeah.
It's not so much a trailer as a compilation of some footage that they have finished.
Right. And I don't know if it spoils anything from Thor Ragnarok, but I have, from what I understand, it's some footage that probably they didn't want to put out until after Thor Ragnarok came out.
That's possible. It also...
But it was also, it's kind of, this, like, it getting leaked is kind of on them because you're putting out footage that you said that you weren't going to release for, like, November.
Right. This issue comes up every year.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can think of in recent memory is the Godzilla movie from 2014.
Yeah.
Had, so it came out just for, maybe it was 14.
Mm-hmm.
So
that sounds right.
A year or two before that, whatever that Comic-Con was,
mm-hmm.
They released some like a very exclusive footage,
mm-hmm.
and it never leaked.
Right.
But other than that, nah, that's gonna happen.
Yeah, it. Somebody has a camera phone somewhere doing it, mm-hmm. and somehow got away.
Hall H is giant.
It's, yeah, like you can't police every single person that comes in,
no.
you know, and take their phone away from them or anything, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
Is there anything from like the DC panels that? Because I know that they were trying really hard. Like, Affleck that was really like, guys, I'm excited about Batman. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know the previous reports was like Affleck was looking to get out. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the big takeaway for me. They announced that the Flash movie was going to be called Flashpoint.
Interesting. Okay.
Real quick, crash course in funny comic books.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Flashpoint is a storyline where Flash goes back in time, runs fast enough to break the time barrier, runs back in time to save his mom.
Yeah.
Doing so, he causes a ripple effect that destroys the timeline entirely.
Most notably, it changes the complete timeline for Batman.
Yeah, well, because Batman's powerful, so everything revolves and affects Batman
now.
Well,
yeah.
But, and so it's just, long story short, about that, about him trying to fix the timeline, figure stuff out. Flashpoint, why it's interesting, though, is Flashpoint served as a catalyst, a launching point for the New 52. 5-6 years ago now, basically was a line-wide reboot of every comic that DC had. And it was an attempt to start everything over at one, keep all the good stuff, cut all the trim fat, all the bloated continuity.
So you're thinking that it's interesting for this because this might be their way of rebooting DCU?
DC has struggled.
Yeah.
And I will give you, actually, this has been coming out today and yesterday.
Because Flash is supposed to come out after Justice League, yes? Because they haven't started filming.
Do they even have
the director for that?
No, they don't have a director.
Because I know
they've gone through three directors, I think.
Because the Phil Lord and, you know, they're trying to get back because they were supposed to. And then they dropped out for Han Solo. Han Solo, yeah.
Yeah. So they've taken meetings, basically.
Right.
So Justice League is going through some major, major reshoots right now.
Right. Right.
Zack Snyder has stepped down for personal family reasons.
Joss Whedon is stepping in. Yeah.
There is some weird... There's a lot of conflicting reports as to how much Joss Whedon is doing.
Right.
Is Joss Whedon doing enough that this is now a Joss Whedon movie? A lot of conflicting reports.
Because at the time, when Zack Snyder first stepped away, it sounded like it's very like basic.
Yeah, it's kind of like
dotting the I's, crossing the T's.
It's run the game, and it's like he's just there because somebody has to be in the seat for these final two pickup shots.
Yeah.
It's gone from that to... We're keeping Zack Snyder's fight scenes because they look good and rewriting the movie around the fight scenes we've already filmed.
Right.
Because it has to come out in November. So, like, I don't know. And also, like, we can't make a 3-hour podcast. So just trust me when Directors Guild of America rules are wonky at some places.
Yeah.
So they have to adhere to some things there. It's very possible that they just will not be allowed to credit this as a Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon directed movie.
Right. It's got to be one or the other.
It's got to be one or the other, or they have to do something else. There's a lot of options. Because
the Han Solo movie is going to basically face the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That being said, so digging around in all of this, looking at like contract disputes, the takeaway is they are doing major reshoots of Justice League. Superman, Henry Cavill.
Cavill, yeah.
Is filming Mission Impossible 6 right now.
Which calls for him having a... I was getting ahead of you. Okay.
No, I have a story. I have a build.
All right.
This is
fun because usually it's just Star Wars. We're branching out now.
Yeah. So, if you'll follow me with this, he has to go back and make Superman now.
He has reshoots.
However, the shooting for Mission Impossible 6 has run long. Mm-hmm. So he is not done with Mission Impossible 6 yet. Mm-hmm. But that schedule now has to adjust to make room for Justice League schedule because reshoots were already a built-in part of his contract.
Right.
Caveat, about.
So basically, from what I understand, he's going back and forth.
Pretty much.
Right.
But
God, that's gotta be confusing.
But these things, these Justice Leagues one have to take precedent in his scheduling.
Right.
Because of how that contract works. Mm-hmm. However, in Mission Impossible 6, he has a mustache.
Yeah.
His character has a mustache. It is an actual mustache grown by him on his real face.
Yes.
There has been discussions. Paramount Pictures has contractually forbidden him from shaving off his mustache. It is in the contract. He is not allowed to do it.
Right.
So, oh, in the filming of Justice League, mm-hmm. in the post-production of Justice League, Warner Brothers will be spending, what my understanding is, several thousand dollars to digitally remove Superman's mustache.
Right. For those reshoots, yeah.
Yes, for the reshoots. So, when you go see Justice League,
try to pick out the scenes that they reshot. Yeah.
Just go see it and know that at certain points, Superman is doing this with an invisible mustache on his face.
Oh, man.
This will be a 5-star movie for that reason, man. Alone.
Oh, man. Let's see if we could pick out a CG guy level somewhere and see if it looks that much weird.
Yeah.
So, if it looks weird, well, compared to his real face.
And part of this is like really interesting because like who was sitting there being like, God, Mission Impossible 6. I'm really shocked. Oh, Superman's the bad guy? Now I'm reinvested in the Mission Impossible franchise.
Not even that. Like, oh, the bad guy has a mustache? Wow. Yeah, like, I'm all
like,
in. Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, hey, you filmed for 4 weeks with a mustache.
Right.
We're not paying to digitally remove your mustache right. from our scenes. That's on Warner Brothers
right,
now.
If you're making us adjust for your schedule,
right.
you deal with that because we, you know, this was our scheduled time for him.
Right.
Right. I fully, completely understand. It's just one of those things where it just seems like every obstacle you could possibly imagine and then some has been thrown in front of this DCU.
So, all that to say, I'm not saying like Flashpoint is a definite reset button on
right.
DCU.
But it could.
But, I don't know if Zack Snyder's coming back.
Right.
I can't blame
him.
Due to
the severity
doesn't.
Of his personal
like, yeah,
reasons
it's,
for leaving.
I just, it's up in the air. I bet he doesn't know right now if he's coming back or not.
Right.
It could easily go either way. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of thing where, like, there can't be a deadline set on that. You can't be like, all right, yeah.
No, God.
Yeah,
no.
Fine. But you got to be back right. here by 2018.
Right. And to be fair to Warner Brothers, they want a successful franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to have, they're going to have some sort of plan of action with or without him. Without, you know, being jerks and rushing a decision out of him.
Yeah. In the comics, also, comics are a mess.
Yeah.
And this is both DC and Marvel. Marvel's done a good job so far of being like, all these movies are on this same timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, once you introduce Flashpoint, I feel like you're starting to introduce alternative timelines.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be really easy to be like, oh, this DC
and not even
universe.
Not even that. At least with DC, as far as I understand, it's all under the same, like, you know, same studio. You know, Marvel, yeah, they've done a great job of organizing what is within their control, you mm-hmm. know. But then you've got X-Men, you've got I'm still confused by the Spider-Man situation. Mm-hmm. And then you've got or with Sony, they're still wanting to do other, you know,
yes.
superhero movies with other properties that they have
mm-hmm.
and they're like, well, we want to involve Spider-Man, but we don't, he's not the MCU Spider-Man, or he is, but that's
yeah.
not canon in the MCU or and it, stuff like that. And don't even get me started on X-Men and Deadpool, like dear Lord, you know.
Yes. That is weird.
It really is. So at least Warner Brothers has that. They have it all, from what I understand, they've got it all in-house.
Yes. Yeah, Warner Brothers owns
DC.
The rights to DC.
So movies. They've got that simplified for them. And yet they still like keep shooting themselves in the foot or having these random things happen that just
mm-hmm.
is like, it's just
well,
crap luck.
Like,
you know?
If you're doing that, if you're doing some sort of like alternate timelines, resetting buttons,
right?
Maybe like, oh, this is the Batman from Earth 2 and like he happens to not look like Ben Affleck.
Or, you know, just be like, it's rebooted. Here's your Batman now. Like, they don't even have to be like, oh, they don't have to explain it. You know? I know you would like an explanation like that.
Here's the thing. I would be fine if there wasn't.
Right.
But this is someone who was like, hey, the first hour of Man of Steel has to be Superman's origin story because somebody might not know.
Right.
So, like, I think it's going to get explained in probably a weird, overly convoluted way.
Because it's not Marvel with, you know, where they could have done that, again, with Spider-Man Homecoming. Spoiler, they didn't. Yeah. You know, we didn't get another retelling of Spider-Man's
origin story
because we all know it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're sitting there in a superhero movie, you probably have watched other superhero movies and you probably understand it.
Yeah.
So, it can be done. There's your proof that a successful superhero movie doesn't have to have, like, a long, drawn-out, like, you know, here's how they became who they are, you know?
Yeah.
All
that to say, I don't know. I don't know what Flashpoint might just sound like a cool title.
It might, and honestly, it does. And it might put some butts in seats,
I mean,
you know?
And, like, in all fairness, this isn't... Flash is in the Justice League movie.
Yes.
So, hopefully... Assuming that this Flash movie will not be an origin story movie because Flash is...
We've previously
right, unless,
seen.
Unless you like go back and be like, oh, this is 6 months before that.
Right.
Which I don't think will happen. Like, they already did that with Wonder Woman. I don't think that'll happen with Flash. So...
Right. I think it might be used as a possible, you know, backdoor into rebooting.
At
that point, would they just reboot everybody?
Okay.
Would have to keep Flash.
Here's the thing with
or that actor
in the comics, Flashpoint was to like streamline the DC, you know, unwieldy giant massive canon.
Yeah,
they basically like cut out the parts that were confusing, kept the parts that you didn't like. So when everything goes back and you have Action Comics 1, Batman 1, Detective Comics 1, like when you go back to the ones,
mm-hmm.
Stuff is still happening. Like, they don't retell Batman's origin. He's still
right.
Batman. The Joker shows up right away. It's like, oh, and you're the Joker. Grr.
Right.
I'm not going to be like, it worked brilliantly because they immediately stumbled out of the gate with, like, you know, on some book. Again, there were 52 books. So some did really smoothly. Batman did some really cool things. Scott Snyder's writing it. He's getting inside baseball. Sure. This Court of Owls is a really interesting thing. Other books were like, here's some da-da-da. As you know, da-da-da-da-da-da happened. And you're like, oh, I guess that we're bringing back that chunk
right.
of super convoluted thing. So, but they can do that. They can be like, oh, this thing works. This thing doesn't.
Right. It would be their way of picking and choosing because I can't imagine them at this point, seeing as how Wonder Woman's like the one successful thing they've done with this with the new DCU. They're like, okay, well, you know, Gal Gadot is still going to be Wonder Woman. But this is also their way of, like, if Ben Affleck decides doesn't want to do any more Batman, or if the Batman standalone movie ends up being garbage, or, you know, we don't know how Aquaman's going to do. So we kind of have that back door. Like, they can, like, kind of, you know, cherry pick, which...
Yeah, they can. And they can, like, oh, because then at the end, like, the universe is smashed together, basically. And
right.
Like, sort themselves out, and the good stuff's all there, and the bad stuff's all gone.
Right. This is how we sweep, you know, Suicide Squad under the rug, you know, and we get a different Joker, you know, because Jared thought it wasn't great.
Well, that's the thing. He's like, yeah, they can do things like that. We get a different Joker. Like, oh, remember how Batman killed a bunch of people? No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Like, even if it is still Ben Affleck, like, no, he didn't.
Right.
He's nice now.
You remember when, you know, Superman snapped Zod's neck? No, he didn't, you know. You can get a new Superman. You know, we could try again, try to make a good Superman movie, which.
Well, I mean,
hard to do,
and it can be the kind of thing where, like, Zod shows up and he's like, I snapped your neck. He's like, no, you didn't. That'd be crazy. Superman would do it. Oh, all that guilt that I felt is immediately lifted from my shoulders.
Man, how funny would it be if they do it like some sort of reset? They're like, oh, it's Superman, and out comes Brandon Routh.
See, but this is the thing. Like, what they could do that would be super cool is in Flashpoint, where he's running through all the different timelines trying to figure everything out. Yeah, Brandon Routh show up and be like, you know, oh, he's this Superman timeline. You have Green Arrow and Flash from the TV shows like pop in for 2 seconds.
Right,
like,
yeah, yeah.
We're in this universe.
That could be their way of explaining why there's a different, you know, Flash, you know, from TV to movie. You know, you can even throw in some, you know, old school Christopher Reeve stuff, you know.
Like,
you, there's a lot of stuff you can do. Like, once again, once you involve, like, timeline-type stuff, the possibilities are infinite. Just like, you know, Game of Thrones, when they, you know, introduce, you know, there's a character that can time travel now.
Well,
here's... You know, that changes everything.
Here's the thing. In Batman v Superman, it happened in a dream, but Flash shows up and is immediately talking like, I didn't come to the right time. You have to warn Lois. Lois is the key. Oh, I went too far back. So, right. like, they are not shying away from the fact that the Flash can outrun time.
Right. Absolutely. 100%.
So, anyway, that's all of the not... WWE also had a panel at Comic-Con with Mattel.
Yeah, they and just they, mentioned some they toys. Announced that there's a... They now have women's wrestling dolls. It's like, but yet, you know...
I don't know. They did some toys. CM Punk did not show up with the belt. It was not their best one.
Fair enough. I don't really think... I don't know if there's anything... It was... The show, like all the panels of like all the big TV shows in Hall H, it was weird, especially the shows that are still happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Game of Thrones came out. I was like, oh, we're like two episodes... Or at that point, we were one episode into our season. Here's a trailer for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
It's just stuff felt like that felt weird because I think they did the same for like Preacher and some other shows where just like, here's the rest of the season. And
yeah.
It's weird. I've never seen a mid-season trailer, you know?
Well, it's the kind of thing where like, because Game of Thrones did this where there it was, I think the thing was on Saturday. And so they're like, here's a sneak peek of the next episode. It's like, the next episode is 24 hours away. Like,
yeah, like, it's like we're
like,
okay.
I'm excited, but if you're not going to show me the straight up episode, then like, all right, whatever.
It's just one of those things where like those shows, especially Game of Thrones, has a huge presence in, you know, in Comic-Con in the past. So it would have felt odd if they didn't. It's just the first time that their current season is running during
Comic-Con.
Yep. So, yeah.
Right. Anything else?
That's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays and Tuesdays and other days as well. I mean, it's a Twitter that's live all the time. Keep going.
Smooth. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You get a new episode every week. If you subscribe, maybe write a review or a rating of
5 stars, I guess.
That kind of stuff, you know, shut up. Keep going.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. I'm sorry. That was really mean. That was mean. I apologize.
Also on Facebook, easy way to follow my Chris. Easy way to follow
Chris?
Easy way to follow his self. You know, see what else we're doing.
Yes.
I don't know why you'd want to follow him. He's super mean.
I apologize.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
You jerk.